Jabez. Who's Jabez? Well, he's one of those nearly unknown guys chronicled in 1 Chronicles. We know as much about a guy named Jabez as we know about a lady named Dorcas. But if I had to choose, I'd take the name Jabez over Dorcas. For the last 20 years, Bruce Wilkinson has sold more than 4 million copies of his book, The Prayer of Jabez, by writing about larger blessings and larger borders. And I don't begrudge Bruce Wilkinson one shiny shekel he made by highlighting Jabez's prayer. But at the beginning of the year last year, God directed me to another man's prayer, the prayer of Jehoshaphat. Now, that's not an insult, that was his name. And Jehoshaphat was admiring his new gold foil business cards when one of his advisors came sprinting into the throne room with a terrified look on his face. Because the army of Moab, the army of Ammon, and who knows how many other misfit military were marching toward their capital city. But they weren't bringing housewarming gifts. Then somebody told him they were already in En-Gedi. 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 He thought back to his geography class and realized En-Gedi's only 30 miles away from Jerusalem. A league of enemy armies were on the march toward their city, and they were already inside the borders of Judah. Jehoshaphat doesn't have a lot of time to make a lot of moves. He has far more questions than answers, wouldn't you? How many are there? Who are they? What weapons do they have? What do they want? Why now? Why him? What conditions will they accept? His response, his first response, after hearing the news he's about to go to war with an unknown enemy army, reveals what's in his heart. He could marshal the Joint Chiefs, roll out the battle plan, sound the alarm. What will he do first? That's a great question, and I'm going to answer it right after this. You're listening to L.J. Harry, and you're listening to the Prayer of Jehoshaphat on Simplify. What will he do first? Jehoshaphat set himself to seek the Lord first. Your Majesty, what are we going to do? I don't know. Let's ask the one who does. King Jehoshaphat's first response was to seek God when tragedy struck because King Jehoshaphat's first response was to seek God before tragedy struck. God was not his panic button. God was his friend. One of his first royal orders of business during his first few days on the job was to seek God. Only 4 verses into his righteous reign, we read, "He sought the God of his father David and walked in his commandments." Jehoshaphat's busy. He's got a budget to balance and a nation to run, but he's not too busy to seek God first because he knows if he doesn't seek God first, he won't have a nation to run anymore. Before the COVID-19 virus took over from sea to shining sea, our schedules were packed tighter than a can of sardines with a ratchet strap. But even in our busyness, our first order of business ought to be to seek God. Jehoshaphat led the nation to the house of God where he lifted his voice and prayed this prayer. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do. God, I'll be honest, they're bigger than us. They're stronger than us. We're outmanned, outmatched, outmaneuvered, outgunned, out of options. Well, that probably scared a few Hebrew soldiers right out of their sandals. But Jehoshaphat wasn't finished. He finished his prayer with, "But our eyes are on you." He started his prayer with anxiety in his voice with, "Lord, we don't know what to do." But he finished with a calm that can only come from heaven when he said, "But our eyes are on you." Over the last year, over 2020, since pretty much March all the way through this January, I have learned that there is so much for me to learn. Even now, I don't know what to do. Even though I've gotten pretty good at knowing how to wear a mask and it's become second nature to make sure I have it before I walk in the store, I still don't know what to do. Even though I'm pretty good at social distancing and I walk into a store and immediately take 2 steps back to make sure I'm 6 feet away from everybody or from my Canadian friends, 2 meters away from everybody, I still don't know what to do. Unless you're listening to this podcast in November of 2024, you probably don't know what to do either. But that's all right. If you're living in these United States and you saw what I saw this week as it relates to the presidential election, you probably don't know what to do. And neither do I. But that's okay. We just run to the one who does. Even in our churches, we have more questions than answers. When will life get back to normal? When will we be able to gather in our sanctuaries again without fear of infection? Will this ever happen again? Will a virus ever take out the world again? Will a global pandemic shut it down? How many people will we end up losing to this virus? Will we finally be able to taste frozen custard again? All those questions, and I'm sure there are myriads more we have right now, because quite honestly, we don't know what to do. But those enemy armies taught Jehoshaphat what COVID-19 has taught us. We need God, and we need Him now more than ever. The beauty is God heard Jehoshaphat's very simple prayer, and God fought for Jehoshaphat. And by the end of the day, God and Jehoshaphat won the victory. Don't be ashamed to admit you don't know what to do. That's okay. Just keep your eyes on the one who does. And learn, as our friend Jehoshaphat did, to pray, when we don't know what to do, Lord, our eyes are on you. This would be a great time to pray this prayer. And this would be a great time to be honest and transparent with God and let Him know, Lord, we don't know what to do. So our eyes are on you, and we look to you for the answers we just don't have. Lord Jesus, there are so many questions I have and so few answers. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. I don't know how to lead the church that you've called me to lead during a time like this, during a pandemic, but my eyes are on you. I don't really know how to disciple people as best as we can, but my eyes are on you, Jesus. I pray for all of those who are listening, whatever we're dealing with, whatever we're going through, those who have lost loved ones and those who have buried loved ones due to this virus. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you, Lord. Just as Jehoshaphat prayed, we are looking to you and asking you for direction and asking you to lead us and order all of our steps. We give you thanks today that you love us and care for us, and we will look to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening to this episode of Simplify. I hope it's been an encouragement and blessing to you. Hey, would you pick up a copy of the devotional Simplify? It's a 52-week devotional I wrote a couple of years ago to help us to walk through the calendar year. And so if you'll pick that up at PentecostalPublishing.com, you can get that in print or on ebook, or you can get it at Amazon on Kindle. I would be most grateful, and you'd be able to follow along, and I believe it will help you walk closer with Jesus. I want to thank all of those who continue to faithfully listen. Every Sunday when an episode posts, it does my heart so much good when I see all the people who are downloading and all the people who are on either Instagram or Facebook story and have listened to the episode. I truly do hope that these are a blessing in helping you in your walk with God. This coming week, I want to share with you a devotion, which really is more like a resolution, called Family Days. And I hope it will help you as you walk this very thin tightrope between balancing career and ministry and family. Hopefully this will be a help and a blessing to you. Looking forward to sharing that with you next week. And always look forward to walking closer with Jesus as we walk through Simplify.